بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال: رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بفناء الكعبة محتبيا بيده هكذا، ووصف بيديه الاحتباء وهو القرفصاء. رواه البخاري. As we mentioned, every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the observant gazes upon Sahaba Ikram was such that they preserve for us even the sitting postures of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the manner in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat, which he slept, how he relaxed, how he smiled, how he walked, how he talked. Every one of this has been preserved for us, so there is absolutely no excuse. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that for you in the Rasul of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not kamila, not complete, perfect, but uswatun hasana, the most beautiful example. So not only in adopting or adhering to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does one gain direction, but hasana, every whichever direction you looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was husn, it was beauty. And by adopting the mannerisms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that beauty has one quality in it. The quality of beauty of husn is that naturally it magnetizes, naturally it attracts. So the hearts of people will be attracted towards you if you will implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the courtyard of the Kaaba, muhtabiyan biyadayhi hakada. In this hadith, one of the postures that is described is what we call ihtiba. What, for our layman understanding, this will be drawing one's legs against the belly with the hands grasped around the knee. Another way of explaining it is that one is sitting on one's buttocks with the knees raised in such a way that the thighs are pressing against the belly, and you place your hand around your shin bones. Obviously, those who are unfit and those who are overweight, for them to adopt this type of sitting posture will be almost impossible. We observed of Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahab rahmatullah alayh that even above the age of 90, when he would sit on the ground, he was able to sit down also and wake up without even placing his hands on the ground. So we find that this type of posture, as I mentioned, is only possible if you are fit. But just to describe it again, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relaxing in the courtyard of the Kaaba, and he describes the posture, وَوَصَفَ بِيَدَيْهِ الْإِحْتِبَى وَهُوَ الْقُرْفُصَى. These are basically two terms, Arabic terms, إِحْتِبَى, and the other is قُرْفُصَى. They are of the same meaning. Just to re-mention what we said, sitting on your buttocks with your knees raised and both your hands clasped around your shin. This is a sunnah posture that we find in various riwayat, was described as the posture of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would relax at times, besides tashahud and other postures. Or as we seen in the previous riwayat, cross-legged. One can easily ascertain one thing from this type of posture. One is when you are sharing limited space with a lot of people, and somebody has to sit like this, then he occupies minimum space. And secondly, this type of posture denotes the extreme humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From whatever direction we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we look at his sunnah, as we mentioned previously, a few things come across, but this aspect we always find. One is what we call sadgi, simplicity, and the other is extreme humility, to the point where it was almost of a level of shyness, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never brazen. He was always subdued. He would never attempt to draw attention to himself. Today, unfortunately, we are living in a culture or in a society. If you look at our current fashion, if you look at every aspect of the commercial industry today, when it comes to dressing and appearance and how you conduct yourself, the entire psyche of it is based on this, that shout out to people that look at me, make yourself noticeable, make your appearance glaring so that people have to take a second glance at you. Whereas if you look at the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are riwayat where an outsider from would enter Madinah Munawwara, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting amongst his companions, the person would walk up, "Ayyukum Muhammad?" Who amongst you is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This denotes the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll see in the next riwayat, on the one hand the humility, the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't need to draw attention to himself. The natural beauty which Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that automatically people were attracted and automatically they were overawed by the natural beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That would conflict on the other part with his extreme natural humility, wherein he subdued his presence. He didn't shout out. He adopted a mannerism of extreme humility. وَأَنْ قَبْلَةَ بِنْتِ مَخْزَمَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ قَاعِدٌ الْقُرْفُصَى. The next hadith is narrated by a female sahabi. The name is Qabla binti Makhzama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. She says, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now we find that in this riwayat also the same sitting posture that is described in the previous riwayat is mentioned. That one, as I mentioned, ihtiba, to sit on your buttocks with your knees raised, with the thighs pressed against the belly, and your hands placed around your shin bones. That is one, as we mentioned, the ihtiba and qurfusa have a similar meaning. So, Qabla binti Makhzama radiallahu ta'ala anha says, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa qa'idun al qurfusa." He was sitting in this position which I just described. The second part of the hadith is very, very interesting, wherein she describes something that we find is found in many, many ahadith. The effect of the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the tafsir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Rahimahullah, fine, if you look, Allah Ta'ala takes qasam, Allah takes oath in the Quran, wadduha, literal translation, by the rising sun, or by the morning dawn, or by the light of daylight. That's one literal translation. But in the context of the revelation of the surah, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Rahmatullahi, was not an ordinary mufassir. He was a reputable mufassir who wrote, actually, Tafsir al-Kabir, which is a very, very accepted commentary of the Quran. He says, "Wadduha," by the oath of the shining face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason I'm mentioning that, if you look at the second part of this hadith, what the sahabiyah describes, she says, "Falamma ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-mutakhashi'a fil jilsa, ur'idtu min al-faraq." Rawahu Abu Dawud wa Tirmidhi. She says, "When I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-mutakhashi'a fil jilsa. Sitting with such takhashu', in other words, such humility. This, as I mentioned, was a glaring aspect of the conduct of Rasulullah. You cannot be brazen. You cannot be arrogant. You cannot be one who wants to shout out at others, look at me, or try to make your presence felt and feel that you are following sunnah. Kana ashaddu an-nasi tawadu'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most humble, was the height of humility. The riwayat of Abu Nu'aym in his Hilya, wherein Shay alayhi salam, I mentioned this previously, describes the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that we find that lo yamshi ala al-qasab al-yabis lam yusma' min tahti qadamay, وَلَوْ يَمْشِي عَلَى السِّرَاجِ لَمْ يُتْفِئْهُ مِنْ سَكِينَتِهِ مِنْ تَحْتِ قَدَمَيْهِ. That a Nabi is coming. If he had to walk on dry grass, his foot would touch the earth so lightly that you would not hear the crackling of the grass. If he had to walk past a lantern, his step would be so light that he would not put out the light of that lantern. So sunnah is tawadu, is humility. So, even in his sitting, look at what the Sahabiya describes. She says, "Al-mutakhashi'a fil jilsa." He was the height of takhashu, the height of humility in his sitting posture. And then, one is his natural humility. The other is the effect of his beauty. The effect of his beauty was such that naturally people were attracted towards him. But there's ulama ikram, this is very difficult to explain in English, but there was one glaring difference between the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the beauty of, for example, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, it's mentioned, u'tiya shatr al-husn. He was given half the beauty of the whole of humanity. And Yusuf alayhi salam had to actually cover himself because of the fear of fitna that was created by the beauty which Allah Ta'ala had given Yusuf alayhi salam. On the other hand, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this came naturally with an element of what the Sahabiya describes. She says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam الْمُتَخَشِّعَ فِي الْجِلْسَ. She says, when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting in such a humble position, أُرْعِدْتُ مِنَ الْفَرَقِ. I began trembling out of fear. What is this fear that she is describing? We find, my respected brothers, that this fear is what we call the natural jalal and heiba, the grandeur and the awe that Allah Ta'ala had placed over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find, as I mentioned, this is mentioned in many, many riwayat. On the one hand, for example, the famous riwayat of Ma'bad Khuzai radiallahu ta'ala anha, a desert dweller, simple elderly woman living in the desert. We know the incident when she is asked to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ra'itu rajulan zahir al-wada'a ablaj al-waj hasan al-khalq. She says, I saw a man of striking appearance, radiant face, hasan al-khalq, beautifully created. But in that same riwayat, look at how she describes. She says, ajmalun nas wa abhahum min ba'id. Ajmalun nas wa abhahum. She uses this word, baha. In fact, in the same riwayat, in sakata fa'alayhi al-waqar. وَإِن تَكَلَّمَ سَمَاهُ وَعَلَاهُ الْبَهَا. That when he was silent, she says there was almost a cloak of dignity that would cover Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he spoke, سَمَاهُ وَعَلَاهُ الْبَهَا. She says it was audible, it was commanding, it was almost overtaking. Now what she is describing, أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ, she says the most beautiful of humanity. Such was his beauty that even greater than the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ajmalun nas, the most beautiful, but abhahu. She says there was this element of awe of grandeur that would naturally cover Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama describe it like this, that they say when Sahaba would come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, automatically there would be two conflicting emotions. The one emotion was, such was his natural beauty that instinctively you wanted to look at him. But the moment you looked at him, then, and basically you wanted to look at him, you wanted to behold the majesty, the grandeur, the attraction of his face. But the moment you looked at him, shyness overtook you, naturally. And out of his jalal, out of his haiba, you were forced to look down. Take an example of a sahabi like Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's a lengthy riwayat. At the time when he is passing away from the world, he describes his life. He says, Inni kuntu ala atbaqin thalath. He says, if I have to describe to you my life, I can describe it in three stages. He says, the first stage, na'uzu billah, was the stage of kufr, wherein he says, I hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, if I had the opportunity to kill him, na'uzu billah, I would have killed him. He said, if I died in that condition, I would have been a jahannami. Then he describes the occasion wherein he accepts Islam. And the point, like I said, it's a lengthy riwayat, but the point that is relevant to what we are discussing, he says, وَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. There was no one more beloved to me than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But look at what he says. وَلَا أَجَلَّ فِي عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ وَمَا كُنْتُ أُطِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَى عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ أَصِفَهُ مَا أَتَقْتُ لِأَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أَمْلَى عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ. الله أكبر. Look at this description. This is a sahabi who most of his life was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he says, there was no one more beloved to him, but no one who for whom I had more awe and more grandeur and more robe. I was overawed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I never looked directly at his face in my entire life. And he says, if you ask me to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a sahabi who interacted for many years with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he says, مَا كُنْتُ أُطِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَى عَيْنَيَ مِنْهُ إِجْلَالًا وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ أَصِفَهُ مَا أَتَقْتُ لِأَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أَمْلَى عَيْنَيَ مِنْهُ. He says, if you ask me to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can't describe him because I never looked directly at his face. What he is referring to is the natural ijlal, the natural heba, the natural azmat that Allah Ta'ala covered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. So this is why he didn't have the problem that Yusuf alayhi salam had. His beauty was such of the highest level, but there was a natural covering of grandeur, of azmat, of jalal, which Allah Ta'ala had placed over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Ali radiallahu ta'ala also describes it in the following way. He says, مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَهُ وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ يَقُولُ نَعِتُهُ لَمْ أَرَ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ. He says, anyone who first came upon him, مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً, all of a sudden you saw him, هَابَهُ, you would immediately be overawed. Why? Because of the natural jalal and heba which Allah had placed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, as you interacted with him, automatically you would love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one who could describe him would say that before this and after this, I have never seen anyone or anything more beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to complete this riwayat, she says, when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mutakhashya fil jilsa. Naturally, he was the height of humility. So she says, when I saw the manner that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in such a humble position, the master of both worlds, yet such humility, she says, ur'idtu min al-faraq. I started trembling out of fear. In other words, the effect of the natural awe and dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us the